A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just wanted to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay, you've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music. That's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.
Hello, bonjour, and wagwan, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the DNA Airways. I am Dariki, and I'm here with my co-host, Anthony. Anthony, hello, how are you?
Hello, hello. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm not bad, not bad. Today, we're joined by singer-songwriter Noah. Noah, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, so if you could, we're going to talk a little bit about your career, but before we get into where we are now, I guess we should go back and if you could take us to the beginning, if you let us know how you got started with music and maybe who inspired you, just tell us a little bit about the beginning for you.
For sure. Yeah. No, so music has just always been a part of my life. Growing up, my mom would always play the piano with me and my siblings, and there was always just incredible music playing, whether it was Elton John, Celine Dion, Stevie Wonder, Carly Simon, like the greats were just always on. So there was just always music around. And I was just always singing. I was like that three-year-old sitting in the back of, my mom's car singing along to all the songs, like perfectly on pitch. And my mom would look back being like, what is this three-year-old doing? And how does she know all the lyrics? She doesn't even,
amazing.
She can't really speak yet. Music's just always been a part of, who I am. And, as I got older, I started to take it more seriously in high school. I picked up the guitar and I started to songwrite and started doing voice lessons. And I just knew that it was the path for me. And, right after high school, I decided to continue studying music. And I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Nice.
So I was there for 3 years and I studied songwriting and music business. And yeah, then my journey kind of just all fell into place from there. Like I've just been doing it seriously and ever since. And I love it. I'm super grateful that music kind of came into my life.
That's incredible. When you were at Berklee, what did you like the most about your experience or your time that you spent there?
I think it all came down to the people, like the professors and the friends I made there. Like it was so cool to be in a place with so many like other like-minded people who loved music just as much as I did. And, we could talk music and sing like all day long and none of us would get tired of it. The professors definitely were a crazy highlight, like, learning from some of the greats like Livingston Taylor, Paula Cole. Having that exposure is awesome, and just that network.
That's amazing.
It's really cool. Yeah.
When did you actually realize that you wanted to go there, or how did that come to be?
So it's actually funny because I actually literally remember the moment I heard about Berklee. I was at home, and my sister, who also would songwrite like growing up with me, she stumbled upon all these YouTube videos of John Mayer doing all these like workshops at this school called Berklee. And she called me into room and was like, Noah, you have to check out this school. Like, it's like, it looks so insane. And then I started to browse their website and they do these summer programs for, high school students. And I saw it and I was like, I have to go. Like, I set my mind to it. And so the following summer, I actually did one of the summer programs at Berklee and I just fell in love with the school. It was like a little taste of what, the university would be like. And after that, I was like, mom, dad, like, I have to go. And I told them, I'm like, if I don't get into Berkeley, like, I don't want to go to university. So I'm very grateful I got in, and I think my parents are too.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, and then I'm very grateful that and fortunate that, you know, it was able to work. Like, it's a crazy expensive school, but an incredible opportunity. So very grateful that I had that experience.
Congrats. Yeah, that's awesome. Just, I'm sure there's a lot of other people who may be in the position that you were in discovering, you know, where they want to go to school, whether it's Berkeley or not. But what mm-hmm. were some of the challenges, I mean, outside of the financial, I guess, that you'd faced, I guess, just in being admitted? Like, can you talk us through that process and what you had to do to get there?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's definitely not an easy school to get into. And, you know, I actually flew to Boston one weekend. I did like early admissions and I went there and, you know, you have to do an audition. They do like ear training and like theory exercises with you. And then you have the whole interview process. So it's definitely not like, you know, you have to be prepared. I remember I practiced night and day for like months leading up to my audition. And I just like really, really just gave it my all. And I mean, I think, you know, obviously practice, but it's also a little bit of luck. And, you know, you never know how a performance is going to come out. So you just got to hope for the best on that day. It's funny. I'll never forget during my audition. First of all, I was like so bad at theory going into Berkeley. I knew nothing. I just learned everything by ear. And they put a piece of sheet music in front of me and they're like, do you know what key this is in? I mean, you know, you're supposed to look at the key signature and like see how many sharps there are and you can figure it out. Yeah. And I had literally no idea. It was like, I was like looking at like the whole new language and wow. I was like, just guess. So I'm like, oh, like, I think it's in the key of G. And they're like, great. Like, I was just total
guess. Just guess? Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, whoever's here with me right now, like, thank you. Bless. Like,
wow,
oh my God.
That's so fun.
And they're like, it was the first question. They're like, okay, great. Like, we can move on. And I was like, oh my God. So I think it was a little bit of luck in that too.
Wow. Yeah. That's definitely some type of extraterrestrial luck. Wow.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Did you stay in the U.S. much longer after Berkeley? Like after you graduate, did you go come back to Toronto or did you stay in the U.S.?
So I did stay in the U.S. I lived in L.A. for a little over a year and I was just doing music full time there. Like I dove headfirst into the music scene and was in the studio every day writing songs and performing and just meeting the most incredible people. So, you know, having the opportunity to be in L.A. was also crazy cool and like, I feel like it was a really special year for me as an artist. I really found my sound and who I wanted to be and got to work with really cool people who, you know, helped shape that. And I found my songwriting family and producers and that's super important, you know, it takes time. So yeah, so I was in LA for a year, but now I'm back in Toronto.
What do you think some of the like major differences are between the music scene in LA compared to the music scene in Toronto?
That's a good one. Well, first of all, I think LA like is just so much bigger than Toronto.
Right,
the music
right.
scene. It's just yeah. it's huge and it's crazy saturated, but I think in like the best way possible. That there's always someone new to work with and like cool people to meet. And like every corner you turn in LA, like you get into an Uber pool and like you meet the dopest producer and then you have a session with them. Like wow. the craziest things happen there. But I think Toronto is like, you know, so many incredible artists have been coming from Toronto and the music scene here is also like really like it's popping and there's incredible artists to work with. I just think it's like a little smaller scale, which is just different. I think it's still incredible. It's just, you know, it depends like what you're looking for. But yeah, definitely smaller scale, which is nice, honestly, for a change. It was refreshing to come back to something that was a little more, felt more intimate.
Yeah, that makes sense. What surprised you most about your journey so far?
I think honestly, like last year is when I really started to, you know, put out the music I was excited about and really felt like me and just seeing the response that people were having to my music was like the biggest surprise, because of course you never really know, you know, like your mom can tell you it's good and your friends, but it's the people that you don't know, like halfway across the world, that like live in Europe, that live in Asia, like who respond to your music and they send you videos or notes, like how, you know, your music has reached them. That's been like a crazy surprise. And I could have never like imagined that, like, and for it to feel the way it does, like when, you know, I get those messages. So that's pretty crazy. And it still surprises me literally every time.
It still surprises you, eh? Cause I mean, your voice is great. Like, is it more of like the vulnerability, or like, if you had to tell me, like, what's the actual surprise element? Is it how people see your talent, or is it just a matter of them receiving you?
I think it's just the way that like people actually can, they feel like they resonate with the song and they relate to it, and that they like, they're like, oh, like I've been there, this song helped me through a hard time. I'm like, damn, like me sharing my story about like, you know, an experience I went through, like just knowing that could like make somebody feel a little less alone, and like help them through maybe a dark period. It's just crazy that like, you know, something I write in my bedroom one night like has that effect on somebody. That's like crazy cool.
Okay, so yeah, I guess it really comes down to like your story and your words that the people are receiving and the way that they are.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've also saw that, well, I guess a part of your journey so far has been your experience on the launch. How did that come to be? Tell us about that.
So I was still out in LA, and I just got a call one day asking if, you know, I wanted to be on the show, and I was not expecting it at all. And I never in my wildest dreams like thought that I would, you know, be doing a singing show, but the opportunity kind of came about, and I loved that it was a Canadian show, and B, that it had such a strong pull on songwriting, because that's like such a big part of what I do. And so I don't know, one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was standing there in front of Ryan Tedder and Scott Porchetta and Mary May, and I was, you know, singing them my songs. And yeah, it was crazy. It was really cool to be on like the flip side of the camera and like to see behind the scenes and, you know, what happens on those shows, and, you know, having the opportunity to work with them was also insane. And just all the people I met through that experience has like been so cool. Like all the contestants, like some of them are still my good friends, and the whole crew on the show. So it was really cool. It was definitely a surprise, but it was like so awesome that I was able to do that.
Wow.
What shocked you the most about the show?
That's a good one. I mean, for me, like the whole experience was just a huge confirmation that I was like, I'm on the right track, because I loved every single moment of like filming. Like the days are crazy, like 6 a.m. wake up, and then, or no, like even earlier than that, like 6 a.m. we were in hair and makeup, and then like working till like midnight, like doing photo shoots and rehearsals, and then filming a commercial and an interview. And, you know, some people might be like, you know, like this is too much, like I need a break. And I was like, give me more. Like if I could do that every single day, like I'm the happiest person. So, you know, recognizing that was like really cool, you know, getting a little bit of a taste of, you know, what it's like when I look down and somebody's already like tying my shoelace for me before I could even get to it. I'm like, whoa, like, okay.
That's so awesome. Funny.
Yeah.
So I have to be vulnerable for a quick second here. And Dariki, you might disagree with me, but you probably won't. So I'm known to be pretty outgoing and, you know, talkative with my friends and people day to day. But whenever I get behind the camera, I freeze. As far as like a video goes, I don't know what it is. I'm working on overcoming it. And you did it on such a large scale. So were you first, was it a shock for you? Did you have any moments of, you know, not feeling like yourself? Like how do you get through or transition into just spending so much time behind the camera?
In front of the camera.
In front of, yeah.
That's how experienced I am. I don't even know where you're supposed to be. Maybe that's my whole problem.
Yeah, that's the first mistake. It helps if you're in front of the camera.
So selfies are not.
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Selfies should be me then, not the. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Yeah, please tell us about being in front of the camera.
Yeah, in front of the camera. I don't know. Maybe it's just. I honestly love being in front of the camera, and that's probably why, you know, it felt like so comfortable. And I mean, growing up, I would always like play with my siblings, and like, you know, we'd like record each other and do like these fake singing shows. And I don't know, I felt really comfortable just being who I am and sharing my voice. And I was just excited to, you know, have Canada get to know me a bit better. So surprisingly, like, obviously I was like nervous to sing and to do my audition, and I wanted to like, you know, put my best foot forward. But the cameras didn't really like, I didn't even really know that they were there, kind of thing. I just was being me, and yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe that's just who I am. Like, I'm not really a shy person when it comes to that stuff. I just like feel really at home.
Nice. So what, I mean, it seems that you're very, like you said, comfortable in front of the camera. You're comfortable just kind of with the idea of, you know, the whole celebrity work life that would be required. What do you notice, or what do you think does make you nervous? Like, what makes you nervous, or what do you get scared to do on a day-to-day basis? Are there things that challenge you, or are there stuff that you like definitely have a hard time doing when it's related to, you know, being an artist?
Of course, like every day there are things that come up, and there's so many things that scare me and make me nervous. I mean, mm-hmm. We're only human.
Of course.
I think the biggest thing is like writing vulnerable songs and then just like putting them out there. And it's just like your little diary. It's like your little baby. Mm-hmm. And everything I write, you know, is from personal experience. So when I share a really vulnerable song, like, you know, first of all, my family, my close friends, they're all going to know who it's about. So then right. It's even scarier.
Yeah.
I'm like, or like if an ex, like, I'm like, oh, I know he's going to hear this song and he's going to know I felt this way.
Right.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
So that's scary. But I think the biggest thing is that, like, you know, that's the beauty in making art. You have to be vulnerable, and, you know, you have to put yourself in that position for other people to connect. Otherwise it's just kind of like, I feel like it's a cop out. So it's scary to put yourself in that position and just like really give it your all. And I mean, with every song I put out, like there's always a point where I'm like, I'm scared. But you know, you got to put that fear aside and just hope for the best and just believe and trust that like a good song will find its home. And sure. You know, and if it's not that song, then maybe it's the next one. Like, you just never know.
No, that's a great attitude to have, and I hope that kind of resonates with some of the people listening, that, you know, if you just face fear head on, I mean, you're a living example that greatness can be achieved on the other side. You just got to not be scared. That's incredible. But I can understand writing your experiences would be super vulnerable, like just exposing, you know, some of your thoughts, you know, that you don't know if people are going to actually accept. What do you think has been the hardest song for you to write?
I actually just wrote a new one like 2 weeks ago. It was like quarantine thoughts one night, and like it was just reflecting on like an old relationship, and it's like this really slow, sad ballad. I'm sure, you know, everyone's gonna hear it eventually. It's just a new one right now, and yeah, like it's very vulnerable, and it's like as real as it gets. It's like one of those songs that I just like sat there, I just like wrote it, I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to say. But I think as far as like songs that are out right now, like Motions, my last single, I wrote that on Valentine's Day last year. So that was definitely not an easy write. I was like fresh out of a breakup, and you know, Valentine's Day breaks out a lot in people when they're fresh out of a breakup.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So that was definitely it wasn't a hard one to write, but it was definitely like, I felt so much better after I wrote it. Like, it was just everything I needed to say and get off my chest. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like really beautiful to like reflect back to that moment. And it's the final vocals on the actual track are just the demo vocals. I never ended up re-recording them because I just loved the energy that that day had. So I just kept it.
Wow. That's beautiful. Incredible.
I love that.
When you, when you were talking about writing a song, can you talk about your songwriting process a little bit? Do you just write when it comes to you, or do you sit down and find yourself like spending X amount of hours a week sitting down and writing, or is it just when it comes to you, you write it down or you start recording it?
Yeah, it kind of varies. Like there's definitely, you know, I don't try to force it, but then, you know, if you're a full-time, you know, musician, you also kind of have to force yourself to write sometimes because it's a muscle and, you know, you need to be writing.
Right.
So, I mean, I do sessions like all week long. The sessions these days have all been on Zoom, which are actually super cool. But yeah, sometimes I just let it come to me, you know, when I'm feeling inspired, I'll sit down my guitar, but usually I'm like in the studio, you know, with another writer, producer, and then we're just like getting down to it. And it's also like, it's kind of challenging to like find things to write about when you're like feeling very content and like, mm-hmm. you know, things aren't terrible in your life and you're just in a happy place and you're just like, you know, so it's hard to find that inspiration, but I'm always like writing down ideas and notes throughout the day and song feeds. So I always have like ideas to pull from, you know,
for sure.
You know, when it's time to sit and write a song.
I totally understand what you're saying. During, I guess, these weird lockdown times now, are you finding yourself writing more, or what are you doing to kind of fill up your quarantine times?
Yeah. So I'd say like the first like 2-3 weeks of quarantine, I was kind of just like in shock. And I think the songwriter in me was kind of just trying to process and digest everything that was going on in the world.
Yeah.
But then it was like, cool. I felt like I had all this time to just like, you know, practice my instruments and get better at production and really dive into Logic. So I think I've been writing more, honestly, than before. And like on my own as well. Like, because usually I'm in the studio, I'm always co-writing, but it's kind of nice to like have this time to just like write by myself again. It's been a while. So definitely writing more,
What instruments do you play?
I play guitar and some piano.
Oh, okay. Wow. Nice. Which one would you say you're better at?
Guitar for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you also write with your guitar? I mean, that's not what I meant to ask you. It is, but as far as like, do you start with the lyrics or melodies, or does it depend what comes to you?
It's always different. It's literally always different. Sometimes it's lyrics, sometimes it's like harmony, sometimes it's a melody. It's just, it always changes.
Gotcha. Okay. And I mean, since we'll stay on the quarantine, aside from your own music, is there anyone that you've been listening to, or maybe any artists that you've taken notice of during this time?
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Emotional Oranges lately. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, I love them. I love Motion. I love Be Honest With Me, Babe. I forget what that song is called. Be honest with me, babe. That Way. Built That Way. That's it.
Yeah, I love them. They're like on repeat.
Really good.
Love the new Lennon Stella record. Been listening to that. Like Benjamin just put out a new album, which is sick. His lyrics are insane. What's this guy? There's a song called Hungover Sunday, which has been on repeat the past week. But I think his name is Christian French. He's super, super dope. So, yeah, that's. But I've just been listening to a lot of music. So I'm home all the time. So I'm just like, there's always music on.
Definitely. Let me ask you this. What sacrifices do you think you've made to reach this level that you're at now? Because I know we all have a lot of time to reflect and think back. Is there anything that you might have done differently, or do you think there could have even been another path that you may have taken?
Interesting. You know, it's funny. I'm the kind of person, I'm always like looking forward. And I really believe that, you know, everything happens the way it does, you know, for a reason. And, you know, I'm not somebody to like dwell on, you know, what if this would have gone differently, because I'm just like so present. But I think, you know, the path that I've been on, like it's given me so many, like, I'm so grateful I have the opportunity to, you know, to live on my own in different cities and to explore, you know, music scenes all around and to travel and meet incredible people like all across the world. And, you know, to have the, you know, amazing people to work with when I go to LA, when I go to Boston, when I'm in Europe. So I think just the path that I've been given, I'm just really grateful for all the people I've met. And yeah, I don't know if that really answered the question.
No, I love that you said that you're very present in the moment. So I do understand. Maybe I'll ask you this a little different way. And that might answer what I was looking for too.
Yeah.
What inspires you outside of music?
I would say my family. I'm like super close to my family and I love them. And if it wasn't for them, I definitely wouldn't be where I am. They're like my number one supporters and it's always so real with me. Definitely my family, my friends. And like, I love like working out and just and being in nature and traveling. That's the stuff that really inspires me. And listening to good music, like other people's music, really inspires me. And art, yeah. Like, I love seeing cool art. My grandmother is actually an art dealer. So, like, I've grown up with, like, the craziest art pieces around me. And it just, like, brings out different emotions in you. So, it's cool. Very cool.
If you could change anything right now about the Canadian music scene, what would you want to see?
That's a good question. If I could change anything with the Canadian music scene? Well, I think there's already such an eye on the city, like with all the talents. So I would just say to like, for it to keep growing. And so when I actually moved back from LA last year to Toronto, I felt like there weren't a lot of places for, you know, up and coming artists to like, you know, have like a place to play or to meet and to network. And in LA, there's so many nights like that. So I actually started a night in Toronto called Writers from the Block, PL, and it's a bi-weekly singer-songwriter showcase that features some of like the city's hottest talent. And, you know, I curate the night and, I just wanted to create a place for community and for, you know, musicians and music lovers of the city to come together. And like, you know, that if you come to this night, there's going to be incredible music and like cool people to meet. And, yeah, we've been doing it for a year, or virtual now because of COVID.
For sure.
But yeah, I think, you know, just having more places like that in Toronto and in Canada, is super important to just like, you know, bring everyone together. And like, it feels like a family, and the people I've met like through Writers from the Block has been so awesome. And it's just like a place, you know, like you show up, it's going to be a good night and you're going to meet cool people. And I just hope, and I know it's already happening, like more nights like that in Toronto.
Can you shout it out again so the listeners can maybe take a look? What was it called and where can they find it?
Totally. It's called Writers from the Block TO, and the Insta is at Writers from the Block TO. And yeah, you can follow the page and discover some of Toronto's like hottest up and coming artists. And, you know, after COVID we'll be up and running, and we put together these really awesome showcases that feature some of the best writers and artists in the city. So it's a great place to discover and network and just meet cool people.
Dope.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually really, really good.
Is it actually at the same venue each time, or do you move around?
So right now, so we have like an acoustic one that's at the same venue every time. It's at B-Side Lounge on College.
Okay.
And then we also have like a full band night called Writers from the Block New Noise, which is at the Rivoli.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's exciting. We'll definitely want to check that out.
Yeah. Come on out.
So I was listening to the acoustic version of Motion on the home suite sessions that you were doing.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Do you plan on releasing any more music during this lockdown, or in like, are you waiting to release music after we're allowed about, like, you know, allowed to go out again and you can kind of promote them and play them in front of people?
So no, I'm not waiting. I'm actually going to be releasing a new single next month. I feel like it's such a cool time to release music because everyone's home and I want to give them something to listen to. So yeah, like lots of new singles on the way, and then, you know, hopefully I'll be able to release my project like top of next year.
Oh, okay. And how did that home suite session come about during COVID? They just reached out, or did you, I think you did a video with them before too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I actually recorded it like before COVID. It was. We did it in January, but I didn't release it until then. So it was the good old days where we could still be in the same room with other musicians.
If you could do a duet with another artist, either dead or alive, who would you choose?
This is always such a hard one. Probably Elton John. Wow. Elton John for sure. And Beyonce and John Mayer.
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting trio. Wow.
I hope you're listening.
I know, it's like a mix.
Yeah. Nice. And then also, you have a lot of experience. You've traveled, you've worked with a lot of musicians, you've gone to Berklee. And I just want you to pass down some words of encouragement or inspiration to up-and-coming artists.
Yeah. I would just say, like, first of all, just keep going. This stuff doesn't really happen overnight, and you really got to put in the work. And just stay honest and truthful and like trust your gut along the way. And, you know, everybody has their opinion, but at the end of the day, like, you're the artist. And if you're creating your art, you have to believe in it. And you kind of have to not listen to what everybody else has said, like what they say about your music. And you just have to trust that, like, this is the music you want to make and that's what you're going to put out. So just like stick by your gut and keep going and be fearless. Be fearless and honest. Those would be my wise words.
Those are great words. I actually have one last question before you go. What do you hate the most about being a musician?
Ooh. I hate the most about being a musician, I would just say the perception a lot of the people have about being in the arts. Right. And like feeling like you have to convince people otherwise about all the awesome opportunities and things that can come about with being a musician and having, you know, getting to the point where people actually take you seriously and like, you know, understand it. I think a lot of people just don't really understand what it really means to be a full-time musician and how big the industry is and how many opportunities, you know, there really are within music. So probably that, but you get over it pretty quickly because you get used to it pretty quickly as well.
Yeah. As long as you have thick skin or you run away really quickly as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. A great answer. Exactly. But well, you know, you gotta just keep going and trust yourself. And if you believe it and surround yourself with people who like bring you up and the people who kind of doubt you, like no time for that type thing.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Exactly.
That's great advice for sure. Thank you so much, Noah, for taking the time. Real quickly before we let you go, can you just shout out your socials and let people know where they can follow your journey online?
Totally. All my socials are at name is Noah, and that's Noah without an H. So you can just find me there.
Awesome. Thanks again. We really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on. These were awesome questions and so much fun.
Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay safe. Talk soon.
As a podcaster, you know that great content is only half the battle. The other half is finding the right hosting platform to reach your audience. That's where Captivate comes in. With unlimited podcasts, advanced analytics, and personalized support, Captivate has everything you need to grow your audience and monetize your show. Join the thousands of successful podcasters just like us who trust Captivate for their hosting needs. Visit dnaairwaves.com/captivate today to start your free trial.